up, family? Welcome back to episode 2 of We Split the Difference. I'm Camden.
I'm CJ.
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Shayma.
In the last episode, we were talking about author's choice. And in this episode, we're talking about the techniques the author uses and how we can use those techniques in our everyday lives. I'm going to be talking about establishing a range in chapter 6 of Never Split the Difference. In chapter 6, Chris Voss goes into detail about whenever you're offered with a price, counter by recalling a similar deal, which establishes your ballpark. So instead of saying, per se, I'm worth $110,000, you might say I'm worth between $130,000 and $170,000, just to give yourself an advantage.
Okay, so the technique that I chose to talk about is the That's Right technique. This technique is in chapter 5. Basically, Chris Voss talks about the 4 different ways you would talk to your counterpart to get him to say that's right. And if you get him to say that's right, then, like, that's it. You know what I mean? Like, you won the negotiation. You got the deal in. Whether it's either actually getting them into a deal or trying to sell something or even trying to, like, get a job or anything like that. So there's 4 different tactics you would use, and to begin with, you're going to want to mirror the words selectively. So in the last episode, we talked about mirroring words in general, but this one's more selective. You're going to want to repeat the last 1 to 3 words that they said. This establishes making your counterpart feel safe, and, like, typically safe enough to reveal themselves, which is great because you want them to feel like you're both on the same page. And then you want to practice tactical empathy. So you want to label their fears by using phrases like, it sounds like you're afraid of, or it looks like you're concerned about. This goes a long way with disarming them. You want to label their fears before they label theirs. So before they say, I think the price is too high, you would say, when you're getting to maybe the middle of your argument or like the end of your negotiation, you would say, it sounds like you're concerned about the price. And then you want to demonstrate how, like, oh, like, the price is reasonable and this and that. You want to get to them saying no. So as ironic as this does sound, being pushed toward making them say yes makes people defensive and they fear that they're in a trap. Lawyers actually have a name for this. It's called cornering. But by saying no, the speaker will feel safe, secure, and in control. So you want to trigger it. You do this by asking questions like, is now a bad time to talk? Have you given up on this project? These are typically questions that you would say no to. And just by doing that, the counterpart will, like, automatically feel more open-minded. Like I said, it sounds really ironic, but that's just how the brain works, you know? And lastly, triggering, that's right. So the moment that you're convinced that, like, you got the person in, like, they're in, and you just need to get them locked in, you just got to make them say that's right. Basically, what you're going to want to do is going to be summarizing how the counterpart feels and what they want. A great summary that will trigger that's right will be based on the feelings and passions that are driving them, but they are blind to it. And basically, when you do this, this creates, like, I guess you could say, creates, like, empathy between y'all two. And that's really good because, like I said earlier, you want them to feel like you're both on the same page. Even if you're not, even if, like, you couldn't care less and you're just trying to get this deal so you can get your raise, you want to fake it till you make it. You want to make it seem like you guys are both on the same page. That's really it. And if they say that's right, well, then sis, you got you a deal.
In chapter 6, surprise with a gift, Chris Voss wanted to make the counterpart be in a good mood. So basically, giving a gift to someone is like making them feel like they owe you something back. So, for example, back in Haiti, the kidnapper snatched an aunt. So the price for the aunt was $150,000. So Chris Voss wanted to lower the price, and he wanted to add a radio. So to add the radio... So when Chris Voss gave up the CD radio, it made the counterpart feel like they owed him something. So 6 hours later, they then gave the aunt back.
So in chapter 8 of Never Split the Difference, Chris Voss really talks about how yes is nothing without how, because he really makes it so that you need to ask a lot of questions so you can give the people that are in the other negotiation some real sense of control, but really you're just directing them to how you want them to solve your problems. Because like he talks about in one of his experiences with a kidnapping situation, he was able to use the wife to talk down from a $5 million ransom to almost just 17 grand.
So in the second segment, we're going to go ahead and talk about how we would use these techniques in our everyday lives.
A real life example for establishing a range would be like buying a car. When you buy a car, you don't want to just tell the car dealer all the money that you have. You want to give him a range so he can try and give you the best offer possible.
So I personally feel like I would use this example or this technique of that's right in my everyday life by maybe getting like a job or like selling a car. Getting a job, I would probably use this the most. I feel like personally that's what I would use in it, is getting a job. I would mirror the hiring manager's words. Basically, if they're like, we're looking for somebody that's this, I'd obviously go back and say, you know, this is important to me, and, you know, but not say exactly like this exact thing is important to me. I would use different words, but I would go back to trying to be on the same page as them. And then I would use tactical empathy as well. Like, for sure, I'm going to use tactical empathy. Like, it seems to me it looks like you're concerned about me not having enough experience, but let me assure you of this. So before they even say you don't have enough experience, I have to say, and they understand that I understand what's going on. And then getting to know, I'm definitely going to use that for sure. I feel like I'm not even going to use it just for this whole get that's right technique. I feel like this is one that I could use all the time. Is saying, have you given up on this project? Or at least in this situation, I would be like, have you given up on the fact that I could be such a good candidate? Or have you given up on the fact that, or like, have you given up on me? Like, you know? And then I would trigger that's right moment. And basically, I would just summarize, look, this is who I am. This is what I've always wanted to do. Your job is just, it has open position. I feel like I do have enough experience, this and that. And then hopefully they say that's right and I would get the job.
For example, for a surprise with a gift, a real life example. So say if somebody gave me like a new pair of jeans and I haven't gave it back to them in a couple years and it was beaten and had holes in them and stuff like that. And I finally gave it back to them, they would be like not in a good mood. But if I gave them another gift along with that, they'll be like happy that I gave it to them because the jeans were beaten and they'll be in a good mood and know that I care.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into this week's episode. Don't forget to tune into us next week. We actually have two episodes.